So how do you think Macoryuk's been able to achieve a 97% eligible population vaccination rate?
First of all, I'd like to speak highly on our tribe and our tribal leaders. Without them, we wouldn't have gotten to where we are right now. And to highly speak about the population here, we are isolated, we are on the island, and our tribal leaders are really strict about this COVID-19 ever since it happened in March 2020. And our locals are, they listen to our tribal leaders. And we have few elders here. And then we have the middle age group. And then we have young adults and then children. And we highly respect our children. And we want their education to continue, excel. So we mostly, to my thinking, did this for our children's sake so they could go back to school.
When I spoke with the tribal administrator, Stephen Whitman, he said that people have taken the vaccinations and the pandemic so seriously, first to protect elders, and then secondly, to protect the children. Does that sound right to you?
That's very true. Like I said, our elders, we have few elders here in town, and we'll protect our tribe, our children, our elders, as much as we can.
And have children returned to the classroom?
They have. They started, I believe, this week. And some of the parents that have children that are 16 or over had their children vaccinated.
You said that first, you wanted to acknowledge the tribal leaders and that they've done a good job of being able to lead the community of Macoryuk through this pandemic. What did they do that was so effective?
Our local, they voted our tribe in, and because the locals trust the leaders, right? And we have meetings, we have special meetings, we have emergency meetings, and we come up with following the state mandates and our local tribal mandates, and we combine those to the best we know how that will protect our tribe, because we're only one of a kind, or Chupik, and we wanted to protect our elders and our children to the fullest extent. That's why our mandates were really strict.
And you also mentioned how Macoryuk is a Chupik community. And am I correct that it's only Macoryuk and Chivak that are Chupik communities in the YK Delta?
We are Chupik with a G on the end. I guess Chivak is a Chupik with a K.
Okay.
Yeah, so there's a difference. There's a significant difference there. And Chivak, to me, is more of a Yupik speaking. And us, where our dialect is way opposite from Yupik.
How does Macoryuk being Chupik, how is that influencing the approach to this pandemic and vaccine?
I was saying earlier that because we're the only Chupik in the world, and there's a handful of us, and our elders are just a few handful, we want to protect us as much as we can, our elders and our children. And with this pandemic, sure, it's scary. That's why our tribe made it practically impossible to come out to the island for non-locals. you know, like non-tribal members. And they have to follow procedure for them to come out here.
How did the tribe make it practically impossible for outsiders to come to the island?
Our tribal leaders, you know, we follow the state mandate, and other countries, we, you know, try to keep up with the news. And we combine those, all those, and the tribe makes their mandate. That's how we try to control the pandemic to come into the island.
What has it been like living on the island for this past year as the pandemic's been going on?
Like any other village, I believe we bump into like a sheer storm, you know, during life, hard time. And we work on those. We have meetings and we try to find a best solution or best way to get out of that or to neutralize it. And for the pandemic, there's always solutions. Sometimes they don't work, sometimes they work. But, you know, what can we do? We're human. And we try our best to protect our people.
It sounds like people have been supportive, but I imagine people haven't been supportive all the time. And you said as a community, you've come together and you've been able to talk about these issues and then find a solution. That sounds like it takes a lot of diplomacy and a lot of community spirit. How has Mokoryuk been able to foster that?
We foster this by following mandates. We don't back down on what we have written for our mandate. So we'll give out warnings, and then after that first and second warning, we get into action. So, but we, like I was saying earlier, our population here, they're good people. I cannot say that enough how obedient they are. And although we have come into some challenges can be worked on, and that's what makes us stronger.
It sounds like you really love your community.
I do. I really do. And if we didn't love our community, our tribe didn't love our community, we wouldn't be where we are today.
And Mona, have you left the island at all during this past year?
I have a couple of times. And these were the only reason for a person to leave from the island was it had to be essential. You know, medical is essential. And the only people that went out from the island were essential. And to come back, we had to have a negative COVID test, and we had to test again to make sure we come out to the island. We had to have a COVID card stating that we tested, and then our tribe will make us a travel authorization to come down. And then before we had lessened the mandate, we had to quarantine for 14 days. That's how our tribe had handled it.
It sounds like there's a lot of restrictions in place to try to prevent the virus from entering the community and then spreading. Did Mokoryuk have COVID cases in this pandemic?
We did. We had maybe less than 8. as soon as we hear of a case, we'd shut down the whole village. And we'd trace, the tribe would trace, and then once we get that situated, we'd unlock the village and be cautious of, you know, like any other happening, we would unlock the village and be cautious, take high precaution, mask and social distance and all that, limiting our people going into our public places.
And you said that officials were distributing warnings, and
yes.
What kind of warnings were issued, and were there also fines issued?
The highest priority for us were people coming in from Bethel area or beyond. They were warned, like locals, at the airport, you know, like Oral, you will be doing this, you'll be doing that, you cannot do this and that. And then if you are seen, we'll give you the paper. Make sure you understand what we mean. And if we see you for the third time, we'll give you a fine. Our locals usually are obedient about those. So,
has Mekoryuk lost anyone to COVID during this pandemic?
I don't think we have, but we had cases that were close. But thank God we didn't lose anyone, I don't think.
And Mona, have you chosen to get vaccinated?
Yes, I have. I had my last dose about a week and a half ago.
And how is it for you feeling now that, you know, 97% of the people who can get vaccinated have chosen to do so on the island?
I feel that we love our elders and our children so much, our school children, that we sacrificed that. Like I was saying before it all happened, I'm not going to get vaccinated, you know, forget that. But I have grandchildren, and I want them to visit. I want my grandchildren to excel in school, so I did it for them.
Oh, that's interesting. So initially, you did not want to get the vaccine, but being able to see your grandchildren changed your mind?
Yes.
And are you happy with your decision?
Yes, I am. It's worth seeing my grandkids.
And have you been kept away from your grandchildren during this pandemic?
The two times when I left for medical reasons, and when I come back, my house was quarantining, and there are times my grandkids would come up to the window and window visit. I couldn't do anything but look out the window and love them and wish I could hug them and, you know, like grandparents, give them little gifts and stuff. It was hurtful for me not to have that embrace from them, that loving them up and just being excited with them when we come back like before.
And how many grandchildren do you have in Mekoryuk?
I have 6 grandboys and 4 grandgirls. The oldest one is in college, so she's doing very well, and I'm really proud of her.
Mm-hmm. And classes in the Mekoryuk School have resumed. How else has life changed after the vaccine?
Kids are back to school. Our postal system had opened up more. Our store is almost back to normal. But we are all still required to mask and social distance in town and in public places. Other than that, we're continuing on almost normal.
And how did the word get out so effectively to everybody that the vaccine was in the community and you could come down and get it? And it seems like pretty much everyone did.
Most of the homes here have VHF announcements. There's social media nowadays that they post up on internet and the word of mouth, telephone calls. That's how it came about.
Were health aides on the VHF making announcements?
Yes.
And do you have any advice for other communities who would like to be able to get where Macoryuk's gotten to at least 97% of its eligible population vaccinated?
Yes. Before all this pandemic had happened, we go to church here. And after church services, we'd have a snack time with some of the locals. And I really missed that. And when we had to quarantine, I really missed my grandchildren. I missed inviting couples over for dinner or lunch or, you know, the normal activity where you just go into your friend's house and go eat. You know what I'm saying? And that was our norm. Today's norm, we still haven't invited anyone. Like, our norm is has mostly been forgotten. And I know I miss it. If I miss it, my friends miss it too. Our children haven't gone to school for almost a year. We miss all of that, our normal, quote, life. And that's the village, our tribe. They want our children to go back to school, so that was their willingness for the village to vaccinate, was to protect our elders and protect our children. And that's how we, as a tribal member here in the village, got to 97%.
Well, Mona, I so appreciate you talking with me.
Okay. Poyana.